was going to be in North Carolina doing a gospel meeting this week. Ben was planning on being here, but apparently the Smiths have some sickness in their family this morning, and just to be safe and make sure that it wasn't anything they could pass around to everyone else, they wanted to make sure they kind of kept themselves a little isolated until they found out what exactly was going on. So definitely want to keep Don and Sherry and that family in the prayers as they're traveling over this week, that he can be effective in the sermons that he's preaching, and also for Ben and Heather and Lena and them, and make sure that they get feeling better and can be back with us soon. Now, I know a lot of you were involved in Bible Bowl that went on. First off, thank you. All the kids, the teachers, the parents, there's a lot that goes into Bible Bowl and making it happen. Yesterday was an absolutely fantastic day. Now, we didn't go to Tennessee Tech and do it at Hooper Eblen Center with all the other congregations, obviously, with COVID. And I think a lot of congregations did this. They decided to just do it at their home congregation. So we actually did it here in the building. And it was fantastic watching the kids all spread out in here, holding cards up. We had some fun with it, got to eat afterwards. And I do know that we're going to recognize the kids after our services this morning. So there'll probably be some additional announcements about that, but plan on staying and recognizing these kids for all the hard work that they put in. Now, there is something that I do want to talk about this morning. I think has caused a lot of problems throughout the religious world. And when I say religious world, I'm not just talking the church here. I'm talking generally throughout the world. Anyone who claims religion, that they believe in something, has caused a lot of problems. And unfortunately, it has started to seep its way into the Lord's church as well. It's something that has started to cause problems even within our congregations of the church. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's the whole idea of preventing someone from knowing the truth, trying to keep someone ignorant of something, maybe not purposely, maybe it's an accident, but it's the whole idea of someone being scared, fearing, or being discouraged to ask a question. Someone not having the courage to step up and say, I don't understand. Someone tell me what this means. I see us doing this. That doesn't make sense to me. Why does God want us to do this? Why does God want us to do that? We're doing this over here, but I can't find that in Scripture. If someone is afraid to step up and ask those kinds of questions, that's eventually what starts leading the religious world, the Lord's church, astray. That's eventually what leads into apostasy and people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And again, it may not be purposeful. I'm sure there are some people out there who do purposely deceive others. But you would like to think that most people are honest people, that they are trying to do what's right, but they don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of people do stay ignorant. Maybe it's people are scared that they're going to be labeled as a troublemaker. Maybe it's someone who's afraid that if I try to go against the status quo, I'm trying to do something different than what everybody else is doing, I'm going to be labeled now as somebody who, look, you need to stay away from that person. That person's not going to get along. They're not going to go along. You just need to kind of push them to the side because we're eventually going to start having trouble from this one. Maybe that's the fear that keeps people from digging into things. Maybe they're afraid their reputations are going to be hurt. This may seem like an odd topic to have a sermon about, and I understand that. But it's something that we all need to think about, is do we really understand why we do what we do? Are we afraid to ask the questions? And I know some of you do like to take notes. If you want to title this something, I would title this sermon, They Were Afraid to Ask. And that came from the passage that Christopher read for us just a minute ago. Even Jesus' apostles were afraid to ask Jesus what he meant. And we'll get into some of that. So I guess the big question is, why even talk about asking questions? That's just weird. Does the Bible command us to ask questions? Does it give us examples to ask questions? Does it tell us we don't need to be asking questions of others? Does it tell us that, hey, just do what you're told, don't cause trouble, don't cause a rift, and just sit there and behave and obey? Or does the Bible even say anything about asking questions? Is it just completely silent on it and it's just something I'm trying to come up with? Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. There's a lot of passages I'm going to want us to turn to this morning, so I do encourage you, please get your Bibles out. And I'm telling you from the standpoint of somebody who stands up here every once in a while, we can hear the pages turning when we're up here. And it does encourage whoever's up here speaking if they can hear pages turning, because it at least gives the illusion to me that you're listening to me a little bit. So turn to Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 26. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Well, the first thing we notice in Scripture is Asking questions is a scriptural method of teaching somebody. It's a way that Jesus used all the time when he wanted to teach somebody, is he asked questions like this. What is it going to profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's a question that Jesus asked. He asked it rhetorically, but he meant to get somebody thinking. All right? And there's going to be several. We're also going to look in the adult class here after a while. There's a lot of those type of things that we're going to look at are things that I want to get you guys thinking about certain things. But Jesus used questions a lot of times to try to teach people. It's a good way to get people looking at things from another angle that they've maybe never done that before. Flip over a couple chapters to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, let's look at a little section here starting in verse 23. It says, when he entered the temple, this is Jesus, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Now, I will say the motive of the chief priests when they come up and approach Jesus, this seems like a confrontational type thing. This doesn't seem like something that, oh, hey, we just want to know just for our own curiosity's sake. All right? The motives behind this, maybe we're not the most pure in the world. And so Jesus was a smart guy. He understands that he's being confronted with something. And so his response goes back accordingly with that. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority that I do these things. So it's like, you want to ask me a question? Fine. I'm going to ask you one first. Verse 25. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now some people may look at this interaction that Jesus had with the chief priest here and may think, look, Jesus didn't answer their question. He didn't tell them anything. Maybe Jesus was just trying to blow them off. He was trying to ignore their question and not answer it. So wouldn't that be a reason for us not to go and ask questions? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus answered their question. All right? He answered it in a way where they knew what the answer was, and he knew that they knew what the answer was. They lied to him when they said they didn't know what the answer was. They knew what John did was from heaven. They knew where the authority of Jesus was coming from. They just didn't like it. They didn't like that he came in and was teaching things because what he was teaching was going against what they wanted to teach. It was going against what gave them the power and the recognition from everyone else. So they were trying to challenge that. They knew the answer. He knew that they knew the answer. And so the way he asked that question basically told them that. Was Jesus trying to cause trouble here? Absolutely not. Was his motives impure? Again, absolutely not. He used a question to teach with. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. And so this is Paul writing here, writing to the church at Corinth. And what he's writing here is he's addressing the worship assembly setting. Let's begin reading in verse 34. It says, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now, I'm not going to get into the discussion about what women's roles are in the church. That can be a whole other sermon in and of itself. But the whole idea is, asking a question is a scriptural method of learning something. If there's something that you want to know, go ask the question. If you want to learn something about Scripture, it told the women that if there's something you need to know, go ask your husbands at home. All right. Now, another part of that is we got to be prepared to give an answer. We have to be ready to answer the questions that somebody asks us. If we don't know something, how are we going to learn this? I know we have a lot of school teachers in here. Yes, you plan curriculums. Yes, you get things ready for your children in class. And you try to anticipate the things that they're going to ask. You try to guess at what they're going to be thinking about, what they want to know based on the personalities of the kids in there, and you try to teach accordingly. But don't you enjoy it? Sometimes, I'm sure there's some kids that ask with impure motives, but if a kid asks a legitimate question in class, that, hey, I don't understand that. Hey, what does this mean? Hey, how is this connected to this? As a teacher, at least I would think, I'm not a teacher, But as a teacher, I would think, okay, yeah, let's dig into that a little bit further. Let's show how this connects to this, because people are wanting to learn. Turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Now, when we're looking at Joshua chapter 4, the children of Israel at this point, they've already come out of Egypt. This is after they were in captivity in Egypt. You had the situation with Moses. He goes and confronts Pharaoh. You have the 10 plagues. They've now escaped from Egypt. They've already gone through Mount Sinai. They've been given the 10 commandments at this point, as well as all the other laws and commands that Jesus wanted them to have, or that God wanted them to have. And they've come up now to the Jordan River. They're getting ready to finally go into the land of Canaan. They're done with their 40 years of wilderness wandering. They're going to finally start this conquest of Canaan and take the promised land that God had told them they were going to do. Listen to Joshua chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 4. It says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe." So you now have a representative from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So these 12 men come to Joshua. Listen to verse 5, what he tells them. It says, "And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel.'" So they're going out and they're going to gather 12 stones. Each man's going to grab himself a stone. Verse 6, "That it may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." First off, you may not have realized, okay, waters were parted more than just the Red Sea. When they were crossing into Canaan to go finally start the conquest of the Promised Land, when they crossed the Jordan River, when these men stepped into the river carrying the ark, as soon as their feet hit the waters parted. It's interesting to go and read that it says the waters piled up. I can imagine if you were back in the town where it piled up at, trying to wonder what was going on. But sorry, that's a sidetrack. They crossed the river, and you're going to have generations of kids that are going to want to know what this meant. Hey, I don't remember this. I wasn't living back then. We just went through the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There's memorials set up in New York and different places. Why do we do that? It's because there's generations that are coming that don't know it. My kids weren't alive then. I remember what I was doing. I'm sure most of you remember what you were doing then and watching the news and everything else. But there's a whole generation coming that don't remember that, that don't truly understand it. You're having that same situation right here. Is the significance of them leaving and going into the Promised Land, and for God basically parting the water here of guiding them in to Canaan, they wanted to set up some kind of memorial. Now, the whole point of this memorial was they wanted the kids to ask them. They wanted their children to ask them what this meant, because what that did is that gave the parents an opportunity to tell the kids, this is what God did for us. This is what God did for our people. They want the questions to be asked. They're actually trying to encourage the questions to get asked by setting something here that would trigger curiosity. I almost thought putting this together, Why did God want us to do the Lord's Supper? I know sometimes it's dangerous to put yourself in the mind of God, because Scripture tells us that nobody's going to know the mind of God. Nobody can know the mind of a man except the spirit of a man. Nobody's going to know the mind of God either, except God Himself. But why? Why is it done every first day of the week? Why is it done the way it is? Now, I know there's connections with things in the Old Testament and the Old Law, and this is the memorial that we have today, but why even have a memorial at all? Maybe it's a situation where you have people who aren't Christians. Maybe it's our children may look at us and say, "Hey, Dad, why do we do that? Hey, Dad, why is there bread and juice? Why not something else?" Is that now an opportunity for me to teach my children what Jesus did for them? Yes, I'm thinking about Jesus. Yes, I'm remembering Jesus. But this memorial, could it be something very similar to what God set up through Joshua with the children of Israel, so that the future generations coming along could ask them and say, "Hey, what do these stones mean?" And they get to tell them what God did for them as they came out of Egypt as His chosen people. We now have something that our children, future generations, other people outside the church can ask, what does it mean? Why are you doing this? What's the purpose of it? We now can tell them what Jesus did for us as His chosen people. You know, when the children came to their fathers and they were going to ask what these stones meant, the fathers were not to turn them away. again, they were told to answer their questions. Now, my kids are getting to the age to where they're starting to figure out things. They're starting to figure out how social interactions are supposed to work. It's more than just the little stuff you watch on like PBS and Sesame Street and things on TV of the very basics. But they're getting to where they're starting to figure out concepts of things, how things are put together, how this interacts with this. But that also means at the age they're at, if there's something they don't understand, you better believe they're going to ask. And there's some weird questions sometimes, things I don't know the answers to. I don't have any idea how luckily we have YouTube today. I don't know how my parents did it. They didn't have YouTube to watch and tell us how everything worked. But when my kids come to me and ask questions, whether it's something about the church, whether it's something about how a refrigerator stays cold, who knows? What's the best time to answer that question for them? Am I supposed to tell my kids, hey, hold off, let's talk about this later? You know what? No, it's not a good, I'm not in a good mood right now. Let's talk about this later. Come and ask me in 2 or 3 days. Well, what's the problem with doing that? Well, their mind is on it right then. Their mind is thinking about it right then. And so chances are, if you're going to answer their question right then, they're going to listen. They're going to soak that in right then. If you tell them to hold off, or you say, hey, come back later and let's discuss this some other time, chances are their mind's gone somewhere else. And that doesn't work with just children. That works with anybody who comes and talks to us or asks us a question about anything related to the Bible, related to Scripture. So we need to be prepared to answer those questions for somebody. Now, I do understand there are situations where you may not be able to stop exactly what you're doing, but it doesn't need to be something where we blow somebody off and we try to avoid answering the question. We need to be prepared to give answers to the questions that somebody's going to ask, because that's a perfect way for them to learn right then. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and this is getting back to what Christopher read for us just a minute ago. Now, Jesus has tried over and over again to tell the disciples, his apostles, what's going to be truly happening to them. The problem is they didn't get it. And we just got done studying the book of Luke and Bible Bowl. We talked about this in the class that Josh Wells and I taught with the boys and said, look, Jesus was trying to get the point across to them. They didn't understand. And you could tell that his apostles didn't truly understand that he wasn't there to set up an earthly kingdom. They thought he was coming to truly save the nation of Israel, that he was going to bring them out of the bondage, out of maybe not the Egyptian bondage, but the persecution that they're living under with the Roman Empire, and they're going to truly save Israel. He's now going to be a king that they're going to be able to rule. They can have the peace. They can worship the way they want to without any persecution on them. That's what they were expecting. And you can see from the reaction of Peter when Judas betrays Jesus and you have this mob coming to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls a sword out ready to start fighting. That's enough to show Peter didn't get it. Peter did not understand what Jesus was really doing. And here's part of it. Look at chapter 9, verse 43. And it says, "And all were astonished at the majesty of God. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples," listen to this, "let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." He told them, "I'm going to be turned over to men. They are going to basically rule over me. They are going to overpower me. I'm going to be delivered into their hands. Not they're going to be delivered into mine. I'm going to be arrested. Something's going to happen to me." Verse 45, "But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it." But here's the kicker. Look at this next sentence. "And they were afraid to ask him about this saying." Jesus tried. Jesus tried his best to explain to them what was going to happen to them, to get them prepared for what was really coming afterwards. But they didn't get it. Now, part of it was this was brand new to them. All right? Should they have understood from the prophecies throughout the Old Testament? Yes, possibly. Should they have tried to put the dots together better than they did? Possibly. It says in here that it was hidden from them so that they couldn't grasp it, so they couldn't perceive it. But either way, when they didn't understand it, they didn't ask the questions. They were afraid to ask those questions. We must understand that asking questions is a way of determining scriptural truth. That's what the apostles missed in that situation. They didn't take the chance, or they didn't take the time to ask that question to Jesus, knowing that they could have dug deeper into what the true meaning of that was. Now, we need to take that example as members of the Lord's church. If there's something we don't fully understand, why are we sitting here not understanding it? If we don't grasp why we do something in worship, why aren't we asking somebody? I'll be honest with you, and I'm just going to admit this. Not using instruments in worship, I had never fully grasped it. Now, I grew up in the Lord's church. All right? It's normal for me not to have instruments up here. But if someone come and asked me, why don't you? Yeah, I could give the textbook answers everybody else gave. But if somebody really wanted to push me on it, I couldn't answer them. Until about 2 or 3 years ago. I started digging into it on my own. Now, I can tell you 100% why they're not used. And I have no qualms at all about telling you that that is right. But it's because I finally asked a question. I might have asked it to myself. I asked it to Scripture. And so I started digging and getting the answer. But that was something that was my fault. I didn't fully grasp that. I didn't fully understand it. And so I didn't know a good answer for it. All I could do was just repeat what somebody else had told me. And that was it. If there's something we don't understand as the Lord's church, we can't sit here and wonder. And the reason for that is somebody's going at some point in your life to come and ask you. They're going to challenge you on that. And if you don't truly understand why you're doing what you're doing, how are you going to answer them? What are you going to know to say to them? Or if somebody presents something to you that maybe challenges your own faith, you start wondering, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? How are you going to stand strong in what you believe? Are you going to waffle from one side of the fence to the other because you don't really know? Asking questions is a way for us to truly determine the truth of God's Word. And make no mistake about it, being ignorant about something can cost us our souls. All right? There was a time, the Scripture says, that God winked at this ignorance. But today He commands everybody to repent. We don't have the excuse of ignorance anymore. Our souls can be lost because of that. Turn over to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. This is something very interesting that Jesus tells. And this is when Jesus is being questioned. He's getting ready to go be crucified. He's already been betrayed at this point. Look at starting in verse 19. John chapter 18, verse 19. It says, the high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered them, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Look, everything I've ever told you guys has been out in the open. Why are you asking me questions? You know what I think. Look at what he says in verse 21. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. Was Jesus condemning them or demeaning them for asking him a question? Absolutely not. But listen to what he did. Take this for example. Let's say this afternoon you see somebody in town that says, hey, I heard Jonathan filled in to preach this morning. What'd he preach about? You don't have to tell them to come and ask me. You don't have to send them, well, here, I've got Jonathan's phone number. Why don't you give him a call and ask him, and he can explain to you what he preached about. You don't have to do that. You can tell him. You're here listening to it. I hope you're listening to it. Maybe you're not asleep. But you're here listening to what I'm saying. You can tell them what I preached about. You heard it. You're a witness of it. Jesus was trying to set that example for them. He's like, guys, you don't have to ask me. All these other people out here heard everything I said. I didn't say anything in secret. I'm not trying to hide anything from anyone. Go ask them. They know what I said. Now, the question for us today is, if someone were to approach you, you don't have to send them to the source to find out. Now, our source we have today is this. This is our source today. Should we have somebody read Scripture? Absolutely. But if somebody comes and asks you a question, you need to be able to tell them what the Scripture says. You're a witness to it. You've heard it. You hear what we're saying right here. You're hearing services on Sunday. You hear lessons. You hear from Bible classes. Are we prepared to answer those questions when somebody asks? Now, the answers we give need to be coming from right here. Nowhere else. Nowhere else are we going to have something that we're going to be judged from. We're told in Scriptures that we will be judged on the words of Jesus. Jesus' words were given to the apostles. They were given a miraculous dose of this knowledge. They then go and write these letters, and they preach these sermons. All that stuff that is taught in Scripture ultimately came from the same source, which is from Jesus. It's from God. It's from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, that's what we're going to be judged on. We need nothing else. But are we ready to give an answer to somebody when they ask those questions? If you don't know the answer to a question, are you willing to ask it? Now, Don does on Sunday nights sometimes, he does the Q&A lessons. I'm telling you, those are fantastic places to ask questions. Maybe you don't, and I understand that, you may not have the courage to go up and admit that, hey, I don't know something. Hey, I think I should know this, but I just don't get it. Can somebody explain it? Turn it in on the Q&A. I've turned questions in on the Q&A already for things that I want to know some more information about. Turn it in. He will do the research. He'll study on it, and he'll talk about it here, and it can be done anonymously. Nobody has to know who turned the question in. Use that resource that you have. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now imagine there's one question. Imagine this question had never actually been asked. Imagine what would happen if we, through our example, through the way that we talk to people, the way that we interact with people, that we're basically showing them, you don't ask questions. You sit here, you listen to what you're told, you do what you're told, and you don't buck the system. You don't try to cause rifts. You don't try to cause waves on anything. Now, I'm not saying to come in and cause commotion, but if we ever show the world that you don't ask questions, you just do what you're told to do by whoever's standing up in the pulpit, what do you think would have happened here in Acts chapter 2? Look at verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" Probably one of the greatest questions that's ever been asked. What am I supposed to do about this? We messed up. We crucified the Christ. We put him on the cross and killed him. How do we fix this? What do we do? Now, if the apostles had been in a situation where they were basically, through their example, showing people, look, don't ask us stuff. We're telling you what we need, what you need to know. We're the authority up here. We're the smart ones. You don't ever come and question me what I'm telling you. Do you think they gave off that kind of persona? That was the vibe in the room anytime they were there? If it was, this would have never happened in Acts chapter 2. They said, what do we do about it? We've messed up. Now, because of that question, they were able to tell them, you repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. From that, we now have the beginning of the church that started in Acts chapter 2. But imagine if those people had been taught, you don't question what you're being told from Scripture. Don't be afraid to ask a question. Don't ever do something that's going to try to push somebody away from asking a question and make them feel like they're beneath anything. Make them feel like that they don't have the right to ask questions why things are done the way that they're done. Now, what if we're taught error? Can we still be saved by believing the wrong thing? Like I said, there's a lot of sincere people out in the world right now that are lost. A lot of people that probably truly think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing per Scripture. But if they're not, are they going to be lost? We have to understand that asking questions is a scriptural way of determining error. We're just people up here. Whoever's going to be up here preaching from this pulpit is just a human. We're just a person like everybody else. No one up here is above anybody else. All right? There's not some hierarchy of knowledge standing up here thinking, well, if that person said it, that's just the way it is, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Anything that could be said up here, hopefully not, but there might be something said at some point that's not correct. All right? We're going to mess up at times. We study hard to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But what if something said up here that hits you and you're like, whoa, whoa, that's not right. I don't know about that. Go ask somebody. Go talk to one of the elders. Go ask the preacher, whoever it was is up here. Is like, I heard you say this in there. Did you really mean to say it? Maybe you just misspoke, but let's go back and let's look at Scripture together. This is the last passage. For time's sake, I'm not going to keep on going too much further, but look back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 13. And again, everything that we do, we want to make sure that we have example from Scripture, that we're not pushing the boundaries of what God wants us to do, especially when it comes to questioning things, when it comes to asking things. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Start reading in verse 12. It says, if you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you to dwell there, that certain worthless fellows have gone out among you and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you're to ignore it. You're to let it go. You're to not say anything. You're just to let bygones be bygones. Is that what it said? Is that what verse 14 said? Look at verse 14. It says, then you shall inquire and make search and ask diligently. If you hear something going on within the Lord's church that just doesn't seem right to you, that seems like, guys, I don't think Scripture backs this up, ask. Ask somebody. Bring it up. Again, we're not perfect. We're not faultless. Things can happen in this congregation. Hopefully not. But things could happen here. They could happen at other congregations where maybe we start getting off on something. Everybody in here has a responsibility to work with this congregation to make sure that we keep it on track with where God wants it to be. Now, the elders ultimately have that responsibility, and they have a huge weight on their shoulders. But they're men too. They're not inspired by God. They study hard. There's reasons why they're in the position that they're in, because they've been willing to take that responsibility on them and say, look, we're going to guide this congregation. We're going to do everything we can to make sure we stay in line with Scripture. But again, they're just six men. One, they can't do everything by themselves. And two, there may be things they don't know about. Well, we need to pray for them, obviously. We need to try to help where we can. But if there's something that you see, ask one of them. It's like, hey, guys, I don't want to start any trouble. Let me ask you about this. Now, things have to be done in love. If you ever go and get in somebody's face, finger pointing and stuff, your reputation is shot. I mean, that's not just within the church. That's just society in general. Your influence is gone if you go and start pointing a finger in somebody's face. They don't want to listen to you. Things have to be approached with love. The ultimate goal is to make sure that we all end up in heaven. And so understanding that, even the person you're talking to that you think might be doing something they're not supposed to be doing, your goal is for them to go to heaven. And so if you try to run them down into the ground, they're not going to listen to you. I mean, that's just the way society works. That's the way that if you look at Christ, that's the way He approached everything. Everything was done with love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. What happens in test? Questions. Ask questions. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things. We are to be curious people. God gave us intellect for a very specific reason, but the simple fact is we have to be willing to ask questions. If you don't know, ask. If you see something going on that you don't think is right, ask. If somebody comes to you and they have a question, don't demean them for asking a question. Encourage the question for them to ask, but at the same time, be ready to answer them. If they have a question, be ready to guide them. Somebody doesn't ask questions because they already know the answer a lot of times. Now, we saw that in Scripture, and it was with impure motives. But if somebody really wants to know, they want to know. They're ready to absorb knowledge. They're ready to absorb the answers, and you have an opportunity to help somebody grow in Christ. If somebody's willing to ask you a question, be ready to give them an answer for that. Now, you may still have questions. There may be reasons you haven't ever made the decision to become part of God's church. If you have questions still and there's things that you want to know about, come talk to me. Come talk to Don and Ben when they get back. Come talk to Chase. Come talk to any of the elders. We would love to sit down and help answer any questions that you have. Help to guide you in Scripture the best way that we can. Help to show you what God wants, how you truly become part of His body, part of His kingdom, how you can ultimately get in heaven someday. If you've never made that decision to become part of His church, let us help you get there. Maybe you have become part of His church. Maybe you have been baptized at some point in the past, but your life has just gotten going a direction it doesn't need to be going. Let's make that right. If you've got public sin in your life, we can take care of that this morning, or if you want to become part of the body of Christ, let us help you this morning as together we come and stand.